Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello, Larry Mueller here. So happy to have you with us as we take a look at testing well water here in Wisconsin and the quality of our well water. I mean, a couple of people have been with us in the past. It's great to have them back to talk about this, give us a little update, maybe a refresher on what we need to do to test. Kevin Masaryk, Outreach Specialist for the Center for Watershed Science and Education at UW-Stevens Point. Kevin, great to have you back.
Good to be here again.
And Lisa Lehman, who is the Private Water Section Chief for the Bureau of Drinking Water and Groundwater at our Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Lisa, great to see you again as well.
Good morning, Larry, and all your listeners.
It's so much fun to have you here to talk about some... You know, well, water obviously has been, there's been a lot of things in the news recently about water. We're going to zero in today on private wells. That's of which I think, 800,000 people are drinking their
somewhere between probably 800,000 and a million private wells.
So that's not an insignificant number of people, obviously, here for the state of Wisconsin. And there was a recent Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism report that took a look at the persistence of arsenic in private wells. And I thought, you know, it's important to address that. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we used to think that arsenic was most common in the northeastern part of the state. It has to do with the geology that's there, and also the well construction techniques and how that changes the chemistry in the groundwater. In recent years, we found that two-thirds of the counties in the state have had incidents where the well water's tested positive for arsenic or at levels, you know, that might be a health concern. So we are finding that it's more common around the state, and as a result, the regulations for putting in pumps for new wells or doing work on pumps, we require people now to have the water sampled for arsenic so that they're aware of what they're drinking, and then they can take steps if they need to address it.
So that's part of current regulations then.
Right.
The percentage of wells that exceed the drinking water standard for arsenic is relatively small, probably somewhere less than 5% statewide. As Lisa stated, there's parts of the state, northeastern Wisconsin, where that percentage is probably a little bit higher. But as a result of the extent to which we've observed arsenic in various parts of the state, that's where the new regulations to have water tested for arsenic after well work or during a well inspection come from, is that concern.
Troubling, for sure. I mean, to think about having more arsenic. Do we know where it comes from?
It's naturally occurring in the soils or the bedrock or the glacial deposits that were deposited many years ago. So we know it's naturally occurring, which is part of the reason why it makes it hard to predict where or which wells are gonna test elevated for it.
Yeah. And are there? I'm sure we'll be talking some more about arsenic. But are there some other kinds of issues or common problems that I guess we could talk about, and just in general relating to well water, Lisa?
Sure. Bacteria is the number one contaminant that we encourage people to test their wells every year for that. That can change over time. Certainly, we're coming up on spring with some warm weather coming up, and if we have rains or runoff events, that can introduce bacteria into your drinking water. So that's the number one contaminant that we encourage people to test for every year, especially because some bacteria can make you sick right away. It's especially a concern for children and the elderly or people that are immunocompromised. So that definitely is the one we highlight the most, that we encourage people to test for regularly.
And what's that bacteria again?
Well, the coliform bacteria is what's tested for, right? And then when the laboratory tests that, if that's positive, they'll also go on to test for the specific organism E. coli.
And so so when you get your water tested, that's going to be an automatic? They're going to automatically test for coliform?
No, you would be asking a laboratory that you'd go to, you take a sample, and you'd ask the laboratory to analyze it for coliform bacteria.
You know, it's important. Anytime somebody's considering testing, the first step is really to call a lab first, because they are going to have specialized bottles or sample vials that they're going to want you to collect the sample in. So knowing what you want to test for is the first step. calling the lab. You know, labs can sometimes offer assistance and if somebody's unsure of what to test for. But really, it's not something that you can just collect a water in any vial and take it to a lab. You need
right.
a specialized bottle.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had some experience with that myself. My parents had a cabin in northern Wisconsin. I have a part of owner of a cabin in northern Wisconsin, and we've gone through that route more than once. Actually, you kind of it's not a one time and then forget about it forever, is it?
It's not. Water quality can change over time. For something like bacteria, oftentimes a positive bacteria test might be representative of something to do with the well construction. It would be great if wells lasted forever, but they don't. So the older a well gets, the more likely it is to develop problems over time. And it's like going to the doctor for a checkup.
Yeah. We have some callers already online. You can join in, too, as you listen. The number to call as we talk about well water here in Wisconsin, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And maybe let's take a call. Jerry in Burlington up first here. Jerry, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
And what can we do for you today?
My question is, I've had my water tested in the past, not real recently, for through a county program, and using the sterilized bottles and so forth. But my question is there a specific lab that in the southeastern Wisconsin that would test my water and give me an actual analysis of what it does contain?
Mm-hmm.
How that would stack up with normals and so forth.
So you're looking for a detailed analysis, Jerry.
Oh, yeah, whether that's available or
sure.
something I shouldn't even be worried about.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks for the question, Jerry. Most laboratories will offer a variety of analyses that you can do. Many of them will offer what they'll call something like a homeowner's kit. The State Laboratory of Hygiene in Madison offers that, and they'll test for a variety of different common contaminants. They'll also tell you things about like the hardness of the water and that kind of a thing. So that's something if you've had your well tested for bacteria in the past, but if you're curious about some of the other common contaminants, you know, working with the laboratory on a homeowner's kit is a good way to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, for anybody looking to determine whether or where there's a lab locally that they can go to, certainly the State Lab of Hygiene is one, but the DNR also maintains a list of labs that might be closer and more convenient. That
okay,
list can be
certified labs that are with us. Home?
Correct. Yeah. If you have internet access, if you go to What's Wrong With My Water, it's a DNR webpage that's maintained. It will have a list of certified labs that you can access, and it's listed by county. It doesn't mean that you can only go to the lab in that county. It's a reference for
sure.
which one might be nearby that might offer some convenient opportunities.
Yeah, there
well,
you go.
Great. I appreciate the information.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. That relatively new DNR website I like a lot. It's really very user-friendly and attractive, easy to use. It's just a really nice site.
And Larry, maybe just let me add, one of the things that we try to help people with in the What's Wrong With My Water website is if you notice a change in your drinking water. So that's definitely a time when you should consider having your well tested. If you notice something different about the color or the taste or the smell of your water, something's going on, and then it's good to have some testing done.
Yeah, for sure. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Mike in Northfield, Minnesota, up next with a question. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Say, my wife and I live just over the border. I mean, Northfield's not far from Wisconsin. Hope that's okay.
Sure.
We live in a pocket of homes, probably, you know, 45 homes developed, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But we're all on well water out there now. Most people I know, and my home is, you know, I have a water softener, and actually the water we drink, we run through reverse osmosis. And I'm wondering, does that get rid of the lead, or do we still have things we should worry about?
Okay, what is reverse osmosis? Well, what is it? How does it work, and what does it do for us?
So there's a lot in that question, Mike. The first is, you know, you're talking about lead, which for people on well water, it's important to point out we don't often find naturally occurring lead in the groundwater. When it's elevated, it's usually related to something in the household plumbing system. Older homes, it's more likely. After 1985, lead was greatly reduced in terms of the occurrence that we'd expect to find it in household plumbing. You know, getting back to your question about treatment, you know, reverse osmosis, RO, is a type of water treatment. With any type of water treatment, it's really important to know what is the capacity of that treatment system to reduce the contaminant of concern. So something like a reverse osmosis system is capable of reducing a wide variety of different contaminants. And the place that you purchase it from should have some sort of list which will certify or say which contaminants it's capable of removing. Something like a water softener is a treatment system, but it's very specific for helping with issues concerning water hardness, things like calcium and magnesium. So it'll take calcium and magnesium out, but a water softener won't be effective for something like lead or nitrate or bacteria. Anytime you invest in treatment, really understand what is the contaminant of concern that you're dealing with, and then make sure that you purchase a device that has capacity to reduce that contaminant sufficiently. Mm-hmm.
So what is a reverse osmosis? How does it actually work?
It's a type of treatment system. It's a membrane type of system that relies on pressure. And on one side of the membrane, it pushes water through the membrane. On the other side, the water should be much less in terms of various contaminants.
So it traps those contaminants.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And on most reverse osmosis systems, typically will have the RO membrane, but they'll also have maybe a particle filter associated with it, and we'll finish it off with some sort of activated carbon filter. So there's multiple treatment systems in one unit that, again, make it very effective for reducing a wide range of different contaminants, not just one.
Very cool. Mike, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to give Greg in Milwaukee a chance to join us. Hey, Greg, thank you for calling.
Thank you. In Monday's Journal Sentinel was an article about the governors and premiers of the Great Lakes visiting Waukesha on Thursday regarding the water diversion. In that article, they talked about two of the three shallow wells for the city of Waukesha being shut down because of chloride contamination due to road salt. I wonder if you could tell us about practices for snow and ice control in watersheds in Wisconsin, where those watersheds are critical to drinking water.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lisa, do you want to start on that?
Sure. I can give a little bit of information. The wells that you're talking about are for a public drinking water system, so these would not be private wells. Those would be part of the city of Waukesha's distribution system. There are not very many regulations related to snow removal or snow storage or, you know, where snow is collected around the state and the use of road salt. So that's why, you know, chlorides are one of the things that municipalities would be analyzing their well water for to make sure that it's meeting standards and that they're not distributing water to households that have high chlorides.
So, and it's important to mention that chloride, there's no health standard associated with chloride levels. It's more of an aesthetic standard. Mm-hmm. Really high levels of chloride might give water, let's say, a salty taste. But I think I don't know the specifics of this, but in this case, it sounds like they might have probably transferred or transitioned to different wells in the meantime as a precaution. I don't think it's because of any, you know, health-related concern specifically to the chloride itself.
I was trying to remember I can't ever remember it coming up in a discussion about well water.
And, you know, the thing about chloride is it's a great indicator of land use impacts.
Okay.
It's not a common test because, again, it's not a health-related concern. There's no regulations that require it to be tested on a private well. But it does provide a good indication of, is your water susceptible to land use activities? It's very similar to nitrate in that respect.
Sure.
So yeah. It provides some evidence that what happens locally In this case, it might be road salt, maybe it's fertilizer use, maybe it's a septic system drain field. Elevated chloride provides evidence that, that one of those types of land use activities is probably impacting the water to some degree.
Greg, thanks a lot for calling. Visiting today with Kevin Masaryk, outreach specialist at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. He works for in watershed science. Lisa Lehman, private water section chief for the Bureau of Drinking Water and Groundwater at our Wisconsin DNR. Great to have them along. Join in, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Brianne Chasso, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're taking a look at well water here in Wisconsin. A little refresher on testing well water, taking a look at some of the issues involved with our well waters. And join in. Again, our lines are all filled, but here's the number anyway, 1-800-642-1234. You can always post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show or email us at talk@wpr.org. Certainly love to be love to hear from you. Sue and Culver, by the way, wondered how old a well has to be considered an old well.
Oh, that's a great question. We don't really have a definition for that, but the standards for constructing a well properly have definitely changed over time. The first well code went into effect in 1936, had some major updates in 53, and then in the 1990s. So wells that were constructed before 1991 probably were constructed to older standards and might not be as protective. Again, another good reason to, you know, have your well tested if you have any questions or concerns about the drinking water quality.
How often do you, should you test your water?
Well, we encourage people to test every year for bacteria, and then for other contaminants, it can be less frequent. And again, depending on the land use or what they might be concerned about, nitrate is an important one to test for regularly, as well as arsenic.
Let's turn to Dan in Wausau next. Dan, thanks for waiting. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. I've got a friend of mine, and she's got a drilled well. Was done in the mid to late 60s, approximately 40 feet deep, a little more than that, with a submersible pump. Copper water lines in the house, and it's like it's getting rust particles in the water lines, enough to where it will eventually plug some of the valves up, like on the sinks and toilets and stuff like that. We're trying to figure out where it's coming from, since there's really the only galvanized piping on the well is just from the pressure tank to where the copper runs through the basement wall.
So iron is a very common issue that people all over the state of Wisconsin might find. It's very possible that it's naturally occurring iron within the groundwater itself. One thing that happens is there's different forms of iron, and in the groundwater it might be in the dissolved form. When that water comes in contact with oxygen, it's possible for some of that iron to precipitate out and form those flecks. So there's some simple experiments you might be able to do in that, you know, draw a glass of water in maybe a white coffee mug or a clean container. See if that water's clean or clear when it comes out of the faucet, and then let it sit overnight. And if rust flakes or rust specks develop or an orangish tint develops, it's indication of some sort of dissolved iron within the groundwater system itself. If when you draw the water, if there's flecks of rust in it immediately, it might be accumulated iron.
Overnight or something.
Or it could be, you know, that the casing flecking off rust, or it might be iron that's accumulated in the pipes itself over time, and simply letting the water flush out for a while might help with that situation.
Yeah, makes sense. Thanks, Dan, for calling. Matt in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Matt.
Hi. One second. I have two things and one question. Larry, your show's awesome.
Oh, thanks.
And there's a guy who has a company in on the East Coast named Dean Kamen. It's DECA Research and Development. He invented a water purification system for like third world countries, and it's medical grade water. I don't know. You know, I can't think of the process, but you evaporate the water and then you have medically pure water. I just wanted to let people know that guy's around and doing great things. My question is about city water as far as something I can do to process shower water. I have sensitive skin, and it makes it really hard to shower in a place where I can't control the water. If there's anything I can do to make the water softer or, I don't know, less hard on my skin, that's what I'm wondering.
Oh, thanks for the question, Matt. I would encourage you to talk to the City of Madison Water Utility and see if you can find out some information from them more specifically about the chemistry of the water. All water utilities are required to meet federal standards under the Safe Drinking Water Act, and that is focused on water that you're drinking. So sometimes there can be characteristics of the water that might affect your skin, even if they're not making you sick, and you want to talk to your local water utility specifically to find out about that chemistry and then see if they would have any thoughts on what you might be able to do.
It's the kind of thing that, for example, since you're in Madison, the city of Madison probably would have had other people calling them about the exact same thing, and so they probably have a pretty good idea about what might be out there.
Yeah, they might know have, you know, precise information to give you and recommendations for how to, you know, how to have it be less of a problem when you're showering.
Yeah, I bet. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We have RT in Crandon, Wisconsin, up next. Thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Great show. I think Kevin and Lisa might recognize who I am. We actually own a laboratory up here. And I had a couple of comments. One, for people that are listening, the website that they mentioned, What's Wrong With My Water, looks like a lot of real good information, but the laboratory links themselves are possibly a little bit difficult to use. It looks like the bacteria one is outdated by about 5 years, and the other one is a little bit difficult to use. I had a comment for people that are really concerned about the quality of the testing for a private well. I think it is very, very important that you try to find a certified laboratory, even though if you're just a walk-in customer, it's not required. I think it's very, very important to get the same kind of testing quality that a municipal, that a public water supply would have. I think that probably a real good source, even if you are on private water, is to talk to your local municipality and find out, you know, some of the laboratories that they might be familiar with. And I think for the dollars that you'd spend and for the peace of mind, I think it's really, really important to make sure that you're using a well-qualified and reputable laboratory.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get any argument from our guests here. They're nodding their head in agreement with you.
So thanks for that, RT, especially about the website. And, you know, that's one thing we're always striving to do is make things more user-friendly, and it's still a challenge, but we appreciate the comment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let me just add, DNR certifies laboratories for all different kinds of contaminants that might be tested in drinking water or in other sources. The State Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection certifies laboratories for bacteria. So these certification programs are to make sure that laboratories are using the standard, you know, scientifically accepted protocol, that they have good quality assurance, quality control, and so that you, when you take a sample to a lab, you can count on those results meeting standards. So it's a good program it's good for a well owner to make sure that their lab is certified to analyze whatever contaminant you want them to test for.
Absolutely.
And just Googling Wisconsin certified labs will bring real up to date. Up-to-date lists, and I didn't want to turn it into a commercial for Northern Lake Service, but
there you go. RT, you're certified. I'm sure of that and know that, and there are a lot of other ones out there, and it pays. I mean, it might sometimes it might not cost any more to go to a certified than I wouldn't let price be my indicator, though. I want to go someplace where it's certified. I know these people know what they're doing, for sure. Thank you very much. Ben in Walworth, your turn. Hi, Ben. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. I contracted Legionnaire's disease about a month and a half or so ago, and fortunately have recovered from it. Was not in my water from my hot tub nor my well, and I had it tested by the state of Wisconsin. But how often should you test for something like that, and what are the probabilities of it festering in a well and also slash a hot tub kind of a scenario? That's one thing. And then a second comment, I had a large amount of rust particles coming through my well system into my watering system through a reverse osmosis and also through a whole house water filter system. To find out, after replacing my hot water heater twice, I went and I put a whole house tankless water heater in, and my rust problems are absolutely gone. So that, there was a gentleman who commented earlier about rust particles developing and coming through his water system and clogging the filters and the screens and on the faucets. That was my scenario. The water would be orangish-looking color and things like that. But
that's resolved with the tankless.
That was resolved with the tankless, yeah.
Oh, because thanks for that suggestion.
In the water hot or the hot water heater tank, and then building up quickly through the rime and just depositing through the system and everything.
Well, thanks for that, and I know we've got your questions here and relating to Legionnaire's disease, which
sure, Ben. If it hadn't been for the fact that you said that you'd recently had Legionnaire's disease, I don't know that your well would have been the source of that that disease. I've never had this question before, to be perfectly honest. I don't even know if there, you know, what kind of laboratory testing is available or readily available to analyze for Legionnaire's disease. It certainly is a communicable disease that can be transmitted. We hear about it a lot in hospitals, you know, of those kinds of connections. But as far as it being in the groundwater or the private well, I don't know anything about the incidence of that or what the likelihood is of that. Certainly, if you have a concern that it might have come from your drinking water, I would talk to a local laboratory, see if they have any kind of testing that's available for that.
Yeah. And I did, and it was tested, and it was found negative. There are
okay.
No Legionnaire's disease in my water. It was a state of Oklahoma. It was actually a facility in Madison, Wisconsin.
Great.
But I believe I had contracted it from a hot tub either in two different states where I was at just a week within or a week and a half with that time frame of coming down with it. And I'm told, anyhow, the way that it festers in hot tubs is you contract it or breathe it in through the bubbles of the steam, you know, and the bubbles from the hot tub. And if you're, you know, once it gets into your lungs, if you have any kind of weakness in your lungs or your immune system, it can take off, and in which case,
Regarding the comment about iron, you know, the last caller mentioned iron as well, and in this situation, it sounds like the water heater change helped your particular situation. For other people, just know that iron can be somewhat reduced by a water softener. Water softeners have some limited capacity for small amounts of iron. There's also specific iron filters or iron treatment units for really high concentrations of iron. So people that are dealing with iron, there are some options out there to help with the staining.
And thanks again for calling, Ben. Appreciate your call. I want to give Rich in Algoma a chance to join in here, so let's go there next. Rich, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for having me, and good morning. I have a few quick questions, but what is it, for your guest speakers, what does it mean to shock the well, and if you should do it, what's the best way of doing it? And then the last is, usually I'm gone during the wintertime. I try to have somebody flush the system because I leave the water on and heat up 45, but whenever I come back, it has a bad smell to the water, and it doesn't really go away. And I'm wondering if shocking the system would solve it and how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for the question, Rich. When people refer to shocking the well, they're generally referring to shock chlorination. And so that would be an intensive chlorinating of the well to disinfect the water from any bacteria or slime that might be in the well. Typically, because that requires some very intense chemicals, I would recommend that you hire a well professional to do that work rather than trying to do it yourself. You know, they're very strong chemicals and a very precise method that needs to be done. But for people that are really having persistent bacteria problems in their well, that shock chlorination is an approach that's sometimes used.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We have Ted in French Island said there's with a question that kind of relates to it, so let's go there. Ted, hi, thanks for calling.
Hello.
You add bleach to your system.
I do. We had a well put in. We ran on a shallow well prior, but then we went to a deep well. It's down about 66 feet, I guess, to a water supply. And we have a problem, but none of the neighbors around us who also are using the same water at 66 feet don't have this problem. And that is three times a year, I'd say we'd have to shock our well, where you have a bad taste, it gets difficult to brush your teeth with the water or make good coffee. And so we go through a shocking process where we open the wellhead and add a gallon of bleach. Well, we'll run that into our cold water system and then into our hot water system, so all the taps will smell faintly of bleach. We'll let it sit for a day or at least 6 hours, and then we flush the entire system. This will take care of the problem for, like I say, maybe 3-4 months, and then it's back. I believe it's some kind of a... we did send a sample to Stevens Point. They said there's no problem with your water except for the smell and the taste, of course.
Yeah, so which it, is what, you know, which what, is a, what it's irritating.
What it sounds like here is probably something to do with iron or sulfate-reducing bacteria.
Sulfur.
In the aquifer. And periodic disinfection or shocking the well is one way to help control the problem. It's once you have these bacteria in the water, it's not the same as coliform bacteria, but once you have these iron bacteria in the water, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to completely eradicate. But periodically chlorinating or disinfecting will help knock those populations of bacteria back to improve the taste and odor issues that you're seeing. I want to caution, we don't encourage people to dump straight bleach down into a well. Bleach is pretty caustic. And it has an ability to interact with the casing and other components of the well water system in negative ways. So anytime bleach is added to a well, we really encourage that it be diluted first. And as Lisa mentioned, there's people that are professionals at that, and that's always a good investment is to go to a qualified professional for some of those activities. If you're not going to go to a qualified professional, at least encourage you to use the DNR recommended disinfection procedure.
And I would just add that DNR does have a number of brochures available on our website for different types of drinking water issues in private wells, and we have one related to iron and sulfur bacteria that gives some advice on some of this disinfection. So you can go there for more information.
Yeah, and there's there's parts of the state that just have that problem, and it's just not going to go away, unfortunately, I don't think. Ted, thanks. John and Don, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning, Larry. I have a question for you or your guests. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I have a private well, and recently I noticed I draw some water and put it in a cup out of the kitchen sink, cold tap, at night, and the next morning I take a drink when I go out, and that I noticed there's a little sheen on the top of the water in the morning. So I thought, well, I don't know what's causing that. So I went down to the tap in the basement where the closest I can get to the well, and I drew a cup of water down there and set it on the counter, and the next morning there was no sheen. So somewhere between the well there and the kitchen tap that is causing that sheen, is there any place I can get that tested to see what it is, or is there anything you guys have heard of or suggest that I could do about it?
Yeah, Kevin, you've got a response, I'm sure. Kevin Masaryk?
Usually when we see an oily sheen on the water, it's indicative of what we were chatting about before, that iron or sulfate-reducing bacteria. It looks unusual. We don't consider there to be particularly any health-related issues associated with those iron bacteria. But it does cause that oily sheen. If you notice it again or it's becoming problematic, the Wisconsin State Lab of Hygiene does offer testing for iron bacteria, and that would be one way to confirm that in fact is the problem.
There you go. Thanks much for calling. Appreciate your call. And my mom worked at the State Lab of Hygiene for many years and was in kind of one of the persons in charge of some of that testing. So I can tell you that there's a good procedure there. Let's go to Jolie in Mosinee. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. Good morning. I'm calling about with where you can buy at the stores those water pitchers, those purifying water pitchers.
Yep.
And I'm wondering how good are those? Also, how does that compare with putting one on your sink faucet?
Yeah. All right.
Thanks
Lisa?
For the question, Jolie. Each of those devices is designed to, you know, work similarly, but to different levels of purifying the water. So each one should have some information on the packaging or available from the company that will tell you, you know, what amount of purification they provide and for what contaminants they can treat for. So that's the best way to kind of check it out, is to look at the specifications from the manufacturer.
And always with those devices, make sure you're following the recommended replacement schedule. Some of them will recommend a time period. Others might recommend some sort of volume-type replacement schedule. And keep that in mind, that if you're exceeding those recommendations, those devices are going to lose effectiveness over time.
Yep, there we go. Thank you for calling in. Kel in Sugar Camp, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if there's any labs in the state that test for dioxin.
Testing for dioxins. Can we do that here, Kevin?
There is. If you and if you need help with this, please feel free to call me. There are a list of certified labs in the state that can test for dioxins. It's going to be a much smaller list than the labs that test for something like bacteria or nitrate. There's just not as many labs that have that capacity or capability, because it's not a very common test for your average homeowner. If you have some reason to suspect dioxins, there are certainly labs, certified labs, that can work in the state of Wisconsin to help you with that. And like I said, if you have difficulty finding that information, please reach out to me, and I'll be more than happy to help you.
And how do we get a hold of, well, you can go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. That'd be one way to do it, because we have a link to for both, actually both Kevin and Lisa.
Email would be another one, and it's just K. Masaryk, my last name, at uwsp.edu.
K-M-A-S-A-R-I-K at wis.edu?
UWSP.
Sorry,
UW.
Edu. Yep, there we go. Or if you didn't get that down, just go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and the information is right there. Well, always interesting time when you guys come by. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I hope you'll come back and we'll do this again.
Be happy to. Thank you, Larry. Yeah.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks so much. Lisa Lehman is the Private Water Section Chief for the Bureau of Drinking Water and Groundwater at the Wisconsin DNR. Kevin Masaryk, Outreach Specialist for the Center for Watershed Science and Education at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. Coming up, we're going to move on to some new things, and we'll be exploring some food with our next guest, B.J. Carpenter, who is the author of Come, You Taste, and Come, You Stay Listening, here on the Ideas Network.